It's Wednesday morning. That makes it Vents Day on the Exchange, your chance to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics on the news. This week we'll be talking about climate change lawsuits and tactics and CEO to worker pay ratios. And this is your forum at 800-838-3760 or jx at jeffnet.org, or make your comment on our Facebook page. Topic one takes us back to the previous segment about the tactic of trying to compel government action on climate change by suing the government. Lane County Circuit Court ruled against the young plaintiffs in Oregon's case, though they are appealing. And now our Children's Trust and Earth Guardians are filing suit in federal court to compel the federal government to take action on climate change. The basis, promoting the development and use of fossil fuels, violates the constitutional rights of the young plaintiffs. So let's get your take. What do you think of using the courts, state or federal, to force government action on climate change? What do you think of what government at any level has done already on climate change? And put the court stuff aside for the moment. If this is not the best way to address climate change, what is? What should any of us be doing to slow or stop the process in motion? 800-838-3760 or jx at jeffnet.org. Our other topic concerns the ratio of pay between company heads and their workers. Earlier this month, the Federal Securities and Exchange Commission approved a rule to force publicly traded companies to put out information about how their CEOs are paid relative to the pay of typical employees. The rule is part of the Dodd-Frank financial reforms passed after the crashes and bailouts of the Great Recession. And since the rule is brand new, it won't take effect for 2 years. But plenty has already been researched and said about how much more CEOs make than their average workers. By most counts, it's at least 300 times average worker pay, a much wider gap than existed a couple of decades ago. Is there a magic number at which the multiplier of CEO pay to worker pay gets excessive? Or is all fair in attracting and holding talented company leaders? Your thoughts welcome. This is Vents Day, 800-838-3760, jx at jeffnet.org. Back with your first comments in 1 minute. It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at jeffexchange.org, part of the larger ijpr.org, to learn more about the program and guests and subjects and pick up pieces of previous programs going back more than a year, almost 2 years, in fact. On that website, you can also find a lot of information at our Facebook page. You can find us on Twitter at Jeff Exchange. And, of course, you can take part of the program, which is really the main point of this segment, our Vents Day segment, your chance to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics in the news. We're talking climate change lawsuits and tactics and CEO-to-worker pay ratios this week, and you're more than welcome to join us. 800-838-3760 is the phone number, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx at jeffnet.org, and we're monitoring our Facebook page as well. Find the Vents Day topic and put a comment under there if you'd like. And let's go first to Ryan in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Well, good morning, Jeffrey. Oh. Lovely, smoky morning.
Yeah.
You're thinking about climate change And you know, one of the, I mean, this is settled science, so, I mean, it's just, there's no, you know, there's issues around the specifics and the particulars of what the snowpack will look like over, on average, over the next 20 years, you know, but it's rising. And that's huge because the net area of, you know, the Cascades, for example, when you go from 3,500 to 4,200 feet, the impact on snowpack is huge, way out of proportion to how most people think about it. But that's not why I called.
All right.
I was at my 40th high school reunion last weekend down in San Jose, California, and I'm looking at this group of people who I knew in elementary, middle, and high school, and I wondered what happened to us. And listening to those three young people earlier today just made me so excited and pleased to know that there are people who are thinking, who are reading, who are chewing on these ideas. And how critical that is to create the activism. I completely disagree with Bill's comment about the lawsuit. I think environmental activists have found very rich ground in getting the executive branch, for example, to actually adhere to the law as written by the legislative. So I just, you know, anyway. But it's, I'm just puzzled by what the issue of how do we activate people. How do you know, as they look around and they're seeing the drought, they're seeing the food prices going up, and they're wondering what this is going to mean for them in the next 25 years and for their children, because this is a long-term change. And, you know, how come what 10% of college students vote? You know, how come they aren't out there on the street saying, you know, this is a scientifically verified, well-vetted, well-understood issue. There's no lack about the physics of the impact of CO2 and, of course, methane. And I don't know if you read the Register Guard this morning about the fact that the methane testers that they use to check for leaks seem to be defective. No, check it out. It's kind of scary. The guy that invented the thing that they use says that the tool within which it's used is not measuring high levels of leakage, and so it's underreporting methane leaks and potentially enormously, it's completely unknown. And methane is obviously a much more powerful greenhouse gas than CO2. But I just, you know, it's like, Jeffrey, how come? Why aren't these high schoolers, young college students, just angry at the stupidity of the argument? This is not an argument anymore. There is no rational, you know, verifiable, vetted anti-climate change position. It simply is not there.
All right.
So given that.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Good to talk to you, as always.
No problem. You take care.
You too. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange, your chance to vent your spleen on topics in the news. Our topics this week are climate change, lawsuits, and tactics, what it takes to force action from legislators or executive branches at state or local levels on climate change. What do you think it will take? What do you think about what is being done already, if anything? Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, 800-838-3760. Our other topic is not directly related, but I'm sure somebody can draw a comparison here. CEO to worker pay ratios, now that the Dodd-Frank financial reforms finally include a rule that will require publicly traded companies to indicate what those CEO to worker pay ratios are. And what do you think a good ratio would be? Or is it less about the ratio than simply about the raw dollars? 800-838-3760 around the region. 800-838-3760. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. We're taking comments through our Facebook page as well. The Mercury News in San Jose weighed in on the SEC rule in an editorial about a week ago. It says CEO pay is consistently growing at a faster pace than the average worker's pay. A Pew study in 2013 showed that the percentage of middle-class households had dropped in every state between 2000 and 2013. Let me underscore that. The percentage of middle-class households dropped in every state between 2000 and 2013. The AFL-CIO in 2014 reported that CEO pay was an eye-popping 373 times that of the average employee. But 4 years ago, when Congress went in search of an authoritative source on executive pay in relation to worker compensation, it came up lacking, hence the new reporting rule. Some argue that a CEO's pay should be limited to, say, 100 times that of the lowest paid employee. That's impractical in a market economy, writes the Mercury News. CEO pay should reflect his or her value to the company. But shareholders and the public should be able to find out how reasonable a company's executive compensation is and how well that company treats its workers. If a corporation pays its CEO in the umpteen millions, but most employees get a barely livable wage and no benefits, that's a company some people who feel a civic responsibility might want to avoid, whether as customers or stockholders. The fundamental concern is the relatively slow growth of middle-class wages and the slippage of these families into poverty. Their buying power used to drive our consumer economy. It's also important to know whether employees are paid fairly for their contributions to company profits. As the Mercury News continues, it's easy to pick apart the formula the SEC came up with to determine typical worker pay at some 4,000 publicly owned companies, but it's complicated. That's why it took so long. After a year or two in practice, it may need adjusting. Critics say using a statistical sampling of median compensation and for workers as the standard is potentially misleading. Companies could game the system by hiring enough highly paid employees to offset workers on the low end of the pay scale. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce says research for the report will be too burdensome. But the goal is important, helping shareholders, consumers, and Congress monitor the fairness of companies' compensation in this time of widening income gaps will improve understanding of what's happening to the middle class. on how to restore it. That an editorial from the Mercury News in San Jose about CEO-to-worker pay ratios in that new rule just adopted by the Securities and Exchange Commission, set to go into effect in 2 years. Your thoughts, welcome. 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org, or make the comments on our Facebook page. You have to be a liker of the Jefferson Exchange to do that. Let's go to Deb in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi, Jeffrey. My comment this morning is on the climate change and what our Children's Trust plaintiffs are doing. I just want to give a shout-out to all of the plaintiffs and say how proud we are that they're taking this step forward. We believe that climate change is the number one issue right now of our day. We've been working here locally to help remedy that along with our Children's Trust. And I just want to say that, you know, there's several things that people can get involved with right now if they want to be a part of that. Part of the lawsuit that our Children's Trust has put forward in Oregon is to stop Jordan Cove. And
I noticed that's mentioned specifically in the lawsuit, yes.
Yes, exactly. And so I had the opportunity to speak to a youth camp last week that was addressing these issues and did an action in Medford. But I also want to let people know, you know, there's work being done right now on a version 2 of the HB 34 climate stability bill that will be introduced in the 2016 legislature. Also, there's an event coming up this Monday at Caldera Brew Pub from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Jim Mills and the Caldera crew are offering to donate 100% of all the beverages sold from 11 to 11 on Monday, August 24th, toward Hike the Pipe, which you've had on your show before, and to the No LNG effort. And this is something all Oregonians should be concerned about for any number of reasons. But, you know, primarily in tying it back into our Children's Trust work, you know, the livability of the planet is at stake, we feel, and we feel that if we can't solve climate stability, then really nothing else matters. So it's something that people should wake up to, and we hope they do. We hope they come out to Caldera and support this effort on the 24th.
Okay, it's Monday the 24th at Caldera Brew House in Ashland, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., you say?
Yes.
All right. Thanks for that, Deb. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. And we want to hear from you now. You've heard from Deb. Let's get your thoughts. What is being done about climate change at any level of government? And what should be being done at any level of government about climate change? And is going through the courts, as the folks at our Children's Trust are doing, an appropriate way to force government action on climate change? 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. You can comment on Facebook. You can also comment on our other topic, the CEO-to-worker pay ratio, now that the Securities and Exchange Commission does have a rule adopted, although it won't take effect for 2 years, that will require publicly traded companies to indicate what the ratio of CEO-to-average worker pay is. What you think about that, what you think about what CEOs get paid a little more broadly, and anything else you want to throw into this pile here of these two marginally unrelated topics, but perhaps you can find a way to tie them together. 800-838-3760 is our phone number. jx@jeffnet.org is our email address. Waiting to hear from you. You can also comment on our Facebook page. Joe in Talent emailed in to say, anyone who thinks the reason CEOs get huge payouts is because of their leadership skills is delusional. I think the evidence shows that it's not what you know, it's who you know that matters. It's a good old boys club, and you see the same small circle of people move in and out of these companies, looting the profits at the expense of the employees and then moving on, the human version of locusts. The bedrock of our society is greed and personal enrichment. What's mine is mine, the popular screed of the conservative and evangelical movement, and it's been mainstreamed and woven into our politics, our laws, and now our Constitution. Joe concludes, the amount of money these folks command outweighs their benefit, always have. Witness Carly Fiorina, who almost killed Hewlett-Packard and got tens of millions of dollars for her efforts after being shown the door. I get fired, and I have nothing but what I can carry out of the building. So what's fair? Joe in Talent. Thanks for that email. We're waiting for yours as well. Join our conversation on Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Vent about CEO to worker pay ratios or climate change and what is being done about it. Mike in Medford emails, the CEO pay discrepancy is just crazy. I feel like I'm living in the feudal times. Students of history will look back and read about our times, comparing oligarchs to monarchy and debating what, if much, difference there was between the two. At least we went to the moon. That from Mike in Medford. On climate change, I picked up a couple of editorials here, including one from the Chicago Tribune. A lot of this is in response to the recent discussion of the Obama administration aiming to reduce carbon emissions further from power plants. And the Tribune writes, power plants which produce electricity are the targets here because most burn coal or natural gas, and they contribute one-third of the nation's carbon dioxide emissions. These fossil fuels, especially coal, are dirty and dangerous. Trapped in the atmosphere, greenhouse gases raise the globe's temperature and wreak havoc with the environment. Shrinking ice caps, rising seas, more flooding, more intense heat waves, these phenomena are happening now. The question is whether we can band together as a planet in time to reverse the effects. And then the editorial writer says, a momentary pause. Just in writing the preceding paragraph, we entered the frustrating realm of citing unverifiable numbers and predictions to argue for the EPA action on global warming. We prefer to know with more certainty what the risks are to the planet and what the economic costs and benefits of aggressive action will be. But we can't know for certain. We can only combine science and common sense and say the right path is to clean up industrialization's awful mess in the skies and present future generations with a healthier Earth. The Chicago Tribune editorial goes on, the EPA regulations, tweaked a bit from a draft version released last year, take a strong step in that direction. The rules also set down a crucial marker for the United States to use in negotiations to reach a United Nations deal in Paris in December to reduce global greenhouse gases. Chinese President Xi Jinping, at a November summit meeting with Obama, pledged for the first time to cap China's emissions, though relying on some squishy math. The more seriously the United States acts, the more likely other polluting nations like China and India will do the same in Paris. The heart of the EPA plan is to shift power plants from burning so much coal to using cleaner sources, including natural gas, wind, and solar energy. Coal generates about 40% of the nation's electricity, while wind and solar together chip in 5%. By 2030, according to plan, coal could drop to 27%, below the renewables at 28%. Natural gas, which burns more cleanly than coal, would remain a big part of the mix. The how-tos for this don't come down from on high, which is good. Individual states will each receive a goal for reducing emissions. They will sketch out plans by 2018 and start meeting reductions in 2022. This gives Illinois, of course this is written in Chicago, a chance to make some decisions for its own benefit, though we know coal won't and shouldn't be a big part of the answer. It's just too dirty. The EPA says the plan will cost utility companies billions, expenses they'll likely pass along to ratepayers. The EPA includes some important guidelines and incentives, including an emissions trading system that would allow power plants or states to team up to buy and sell carbon allowances. That's exciting because cap and trade encourages cooperation by acknowledging the obvious. All 50 states and the entire world share one atmosphere. We had one caller yesterday refer to externalized costs. We were talking about permaculture at the time. The idea being that not everything is included in the cost of what we buy. That, for example, when you buy a car that pollutes a lot, you're not actually capturing the costs to us as a society of what gets put into the atmosphere by that car. So when you begin to look at the cost of putting in new regulations on power plants, for example, we're talking about now internalizing those costs back onto us, which is going to be an interesting process to watch in coming years. But let's get your thoughts. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. You can vent your spleen politely on what we are doing about climate change and CEO to worker pay ratios and what is fair in that realm. 800-838-3760 is our phone number. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Patricia Ann in Myrtletown, Humboldt County, says of the CEO to worker pay ratio, 20 to 1. Is my idea of a ratio for CEO to worker pay. 20 to 1 would be her best idea. So if we can do some fast math here, if we go, let's say $40,000 times 20, you get the idea. It wouldn't get anybody up into anything beyond about seven figures there. So thanks for that, Patricia Ann. Louise in Ashland, writing about climate, says some folks do not like to act alone. Some folks have good ideas but do not know how to act on these ideas. These folks can be empowered by attending the SOCAN Climate Summit, October 13th and 14th in Medford. You can, we can, SOCAN, working together to get the change we deserve. That from Louise and Ashland. Jesse in Medford writes in on CEO pay. He says, eat the rich. That's the whole comment. Maybe you want to have one that's not quite as pithy. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your thoughts, your comments about CEO to worker pay ratios and about climate change. 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Email here from Beppy in Medford. She says, to that nice guy who asked why young people aren't angry about all this and us, they are young like we were when we thought we could make sweeping changes. And they are human like all of us, humans who don't want to think that things are that bad. Can we get enough people to face facts soon enough to affect climate change? Likely not, but can some innovative, smart, and regular people come up with solutions? Yeah, I think so. We're only human. It is both wonderful and a curse. That from Beppy in Medford. Your thoughts welcome on this Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Vent on climate change action that is being taken, climate change action that should be taken, and the whole CEO to worker pay ratio. Let us take a call from Tony, who's at Walmart in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yes, I want to give Walmart a plug. I know your audience really love the place. And what I want to start with, the green scare, you really have to be a little careful about the absolute convincing the world that there's a problem. I mean, the green industry have made rather a lot of mistakes over the years. I mean, every environmental threat of the last few decades have been exaggerated. Pesticides were not causing cancer epidemic, as Rachel Carson claimed. Acid rain was not devastating the German forests, as the Green Party in that country said in the 1980s. The ozone layer is not making rabbits and salmon blind, as Al Gore said in 1990. I think enough has been said. There's insufficient evidence for what you're claiming. And in fact, what do you think is the greatest cause of deaths from what I might call environmental issues in the world today?
I don't know.
It's the indoor air pollution, caused mainly by cooking over wood fires indoors. It's the world's biggest cause of environmental. It's about 4 million, which is actually in, what is it, 7 trillion is nothing really, but still, 7 billion, I should say.
So, Tony, is the point that no action is required on climate change because it is not real?
No, but the better thing is to encourage the use of the mechanical advantage of fossil fuels has to be matched, which is, you know, what you get from what you pull out the ground is so huge. There's no way in which wind and solar can match that with current technology. So wait for the technology to get better.
Wait. You're saying wait for it or work for it? I mean, there is a difference
wait
here.
Wait for it. I mean, America's reduced its carbon emissions. Not that I think they needed to, but they've reduce their carbon emissions considerably compared to, say, Europeans. And that's because America has gone from coal to natural gas, which is an economic decision. It didn't need government interference. And I'm also concerned about this, again, I think, misuse of statistics that you guys love to do. What do you think is the... You tell me that there's over 300 times the average worker's salary compared to the average CEO salary. Where'd you get that information?
I pulled that one up from one of these editorials, which used information from from the AFL-CIO, but there are also several other sources in here. They range from 300 on the low end to somewhere north of 400 on the high end.
What's
so there's several different...
What's the sample that they take?
Pardon me?
What's the sample they take?
Somebody else can do the statistical work. I get
300 is all they take, 300 or 350 companies. Mm-hmm. They're taking the top companies. There are 7 million companies in this country. If you look at the...
It's 4,000 publicly traded. Tony, you're going to say I'm cutting you off, but I want to get one more call in here because they've been waiting too. This is Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
I love following Tony. Tony, respectfully, poppycock. The Jeff, you need to get people like Dean Wigington on, who can provide you the statistics, Guy McPherson on, who can provide the statistics. It's going to be a depressing show, but you definitely need to do that. Climate change, whether it's human-caused or not human-caused, is in fact real, and we do have the capacity within our hands as clever monkeys to mitigate it. I do agree with Tony that we have to work toward finding more efficient alternate energy sources. But there you have it. I've got to send it again with poppycock.
All right. Thanks for that, Paul. Appreciate that. Ron, No Town Given, says CEOs often outsource jobs, but the company boards act like they can't find good talent for CEOs. There's really no control on CEO and upper management pay since they get large stock options, which when exercised, this gives them big voting blocks. We need an absolute cap on CEO pay of, say, $2 million or 300% of worker average pay, whichever is lower. If they don't like it, they could be replaced, says Ron. Lots of thoughts and comments. Appreciate those. This has been Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange.